This month, 120 years ago, the first motion pictures were projected at the Grand Café in Paris by cinema pioneers the Lumière brothers. Well, the movie industry has since evolved from black and white to silent films to 3D to animation. Movie directors always pushing the boundaries of the medium. But from that first projection on December 28th, 1895, what movies have come to represent and what are their defining moments in history? Australian movie producer and filmmaker Anthony Gournain has he aims to answer that question in a new book entitled The Unusual Suspects, 104 Films That Made World Cinema. I spoke to him a little earlier, Anthony Gournain, and he told us how he came up with his list of must-watch movies.
What I wanted to do was to try and create an easy way for people who wanted to sort of acquire some level of cinema literacy to do that in a time-poor world. And I asked myself, what could a person do in a week? I thought they could watch two movies. And how long would they want to potentially devote themselves to this? I thought perhaps a year. So 52 weeks by two was 104 films. So that was the rationale for the selection number.
And you also reckon, if you can see these 104 films, you won't need to go to film school. Is that tongue-in-cheek?
Well, it was a little provocative and a little tongue-in-cheek. It was really meant to be a observation, I suppose, about, you know, my day job. I'm not a writer, I'm a producer, and in my day job I run across a lot of, you know, young and not so young emergent people coming into the industry, and I have a level of surprise about the lack of sort of knowledge of the history of cinema that many of them have. And so in that sense, what I tried to do was to come up with a list of titles, not necessarily the 104 greatest films ever made, although some of them are, but something that would take somebody through the beginning of cinema, the classical period in the 30s and the 40s, the sort of the time in the 50s when things started to solidify and change, the 70s when, you know, a whole new generation of young people came in and shook things up, and then wrap it up with Kill Bill, Tarantino's picture, which really becomes the sort of the first of the postmodern mashup pictures that sort of take the 110 years of, plus of cinema and throw it into a bouillabaisse and see what comes out.
And you look at US, there's Australian films, UK films, art movies, different genres. What's the common denominator?
I think the common denominator is I hope comes through in the text, which is these are films that it's easy to fall in love with and to get passionate about if you like cinema. And then hopefully you can go back a second or a third time and look at them again.
And you pick greats like Hitchcock's Vertigo and Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather. And we can, you know, it's not hard to see how those films changed cinema. Give me examples of Australian films that changed cinema.
Well, there's two of them in the book, and I think they both do that in a particular way. The first one that I reference is a film called Wake and Fright, which was made just really prior to the new Australian cinema renaissance in the early 70s, actually directed not by an Australian, by a Canadian, Ted Kotcheff. But what's interesting about that in the context of this very starting point of Australian cinema is it shows Australia in a really unreconstructed way, a sort of a 50s rural Dante's Inferno hell.
Where, and it's like a thriller horror movie in the desert.
Precisely. And so, you know, then you the other film I cite is a film, Newsfront, by a very early feature film by Phil Noyce. And that's a very sentimental film about, in a sense, the same Australia, but viewed through a very different prism. It sort of very sentimentally shows characters, the principal characters, are competing newsreel cameramen for movie tone and cine sound, and that it features the sort of what happened to families and relationships during the split between the ALP and the DLP in the 50s. It features seminal Australian events like the Red X Round Australia race trial and the Maitland floods and things like that.
But as great as both those films are, Newsfront wasn't the first sentimental film and Wake and Fright wasn't the first horror film.
No, they were not. But I think that what happened with, first of all, looking at Wake and Fright, I think that if you look through pretty much all of the Australian films that predated Wake and Fright, both silent and sound, it would be hard to find a film that it was that really looked at Australia with such a jaundiced eye. Most of the films, the Australian films in the silent period, were very sort of either melodramatic or they were very patriotic films like Smithy, or they were historical like the Bushranger cycle of pictures. Wake and Fright was really the first, and it had to be an outsider, I think, to do it, to really tear into this sort of to suggest that the Australian countryside was not really a Garden of Eden, but, you know, it was some sort of, you know, unreconstructed Hades.
And it's not a coincidence that many of the other films, non-Australian films in your book, are similarly polarizing.
Yeah, I like art, personally, that's polarizing. You know, Sam Fuller, who's a director, great, great, great film maker, and 40 Guns is one of the pictures, and The Naked Kiss, I have two of his movies in there. He said cinema's like a fist. It should punch you in the face.
And tell me about some of the directors you haven't mentioned there. There's Pasolini.
Well, you know, Pasolini is an extraordinary Italian director, an intellectual on the one hand, a Marxist on the other, you know, a gay guy at a point where you know, they were still largely below the radar.
What's the movie you put in your book?
Theorem, or Teorema, as it's called. And for all his Marxism and atheism, I mean, Pasolini came from a Catholic Christian background, and so he did another film, which isn't in the book, The Gospel According to St. Matthew, which is probably one of the greatest sort of Christ story pictures ever made, but presents the Bible story in a sort of a Marxist dialectic. This thing, Theorem, has Terence Stamp as an unknown stranger who suddenly shows up at this house where a bunch of aristocrats are having a summer weekend, and progressively sort of interacts into their lives, each of the characters, and radically changes their lives. Now, is he Christ? Is he some sort of figment of their imagination? Is he a political tract? It's an extraordinary picture, very simple, great acting performances. You know, and for people who think of Terence Stamp in terms of Priscilla or some of his comedy roles, he's actually a really very, very strong dramatic actor. You think back to a movie like Billy Budd, or another movie, The Limey, that I've got in the book as well. So he plays this extraordinary figure.
Well, Anthony Ganane, thank you for the book and for your time.
Thank you, and have another look at some of the pictures in there.
Anthony Ganane, producer, filmmaker, now author, The Unusual Suspects, 104 films that made world cinema.